Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be the glory. We give God praise for tonight, Word Wednesday, our midweek service. We thank God for you who have called in. Thank God for the Word of God in the name of Jesus. We know the Word, hallelujah, the Word has power. The Word is a weapon. So this is one of the times where we can come and sharpen this weapon of the Word, hallelujah, because Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness with the Word. Come on, somebody. So when we have the Word, and we're going to see this tonight, that the Word is powerful. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We used it last night. One of the weapons that are not carnal is not a natural weapon, the weapon of prayer. Now tonight, the weapon of the Word. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. So we are going to get into this Word tonight because we're talking, I started preaching from this on Sunday. You are an overcomer. I'm going to say that one more time. You are an overcomer. It doesn't matter where you are in that situation that you're trying to get rid of or overcome. It doesn't matter how long it's been around. It doesn't even matter how painful it has been. I'm decreeing and declaring over your life that you have already overcome it in the name of Jesus. So we're going to see tonight, and we're going to revisit also that scripture that we shared on Sunday about greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. But it's something else I'm going to pull up out of there. Because if you go back and read 1 John, we talked about it a little bit last night when we talked about prayer. This is the confidence that we have in him. We ask anything according to his will. He hears us. And if he hears us, we know what we ask of him. That's 1 John chapter 5. And we recited some of 1 John chapter 4. But it's only five chapters in 1 John, and John, the disciple, John, the apostle, wrote 1 John. And it's a powerful, powerful revelation and godly insight on the character of God. On it talks about the nature of sin. It talks about, glory be to God, the Antichrist. Then it talks about our position in Christ and our position in the world. Glory be to God. I wish I can dissect that more, but we're going to get into this, what I want to focus on tonight. You are an overcomer. So let's go here, and let's look at Jesus first. Mark chapter number 1, because even Jesus, speaking of the man, because yes, he was very God in flesh. He was very God in flesh. He was born of a natural woman named Mary. But he was impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was God in flesh. But as he began his earthly ministry, let's see what Mark writes about, because it's going to help us in how you and I can overcome certain situations. Because this is why Pastor and I, we really try to hammer home, not just to our members, but to those who listen to us, when we no longer toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but we strongly believe this deep down in our spirit and everything within us, that if any person be in Christ, they are a new person. The old things have gone away. Behold, everything has been made new. That is a true statement. When you got born again, when you gave your life to Christ, when you received salvation as a way of life, your spirit was instantaneously changed to that new creature or that new creation. Y'all remember in Genesis chapter 1, he said, "Let us make man in our image and let us make man in our likeness." That was the first creation named Adam. But when Jesus comes on the scene, now he is referred to as the second Adam, and through him, we have a new identity. Oh, glory be to God. You and I now operate and live out of a new identity.
That's why I said take off the old man, the Bible says, and put on the new man, that new man in Christ. And many of us, we're still being taught, where does power come from? How do we use this power? How do we activate this power? How do we maintain the power? And that's what I want to focus on tonight, because we can no longer be defeated by the devil and the enemy just because we don't know how to fight in the spirit and war in the spirit. Because the Bible says, glory be to God, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's just read Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, start at verse number 8. Because it is the anointing that makes all the difference. I said it last night, and I said it again, and I'm going to say it right now. The anointing gives you the ability, but your commitment to Christ gives you the capacity. And we're going to see that right here in the life of even Jesus, speaking of the man Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 8 says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John is baptizing people with water, and now he's talking about Jesus that will baptize people with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You can read that in the Gospel of John. But look at verse number 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Verse number 10, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days to be tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. We talked about that a little bit last night as many Pastor Jamal and he came on the line and kind of quoted what we just read, paraphrasing it. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But I want to focus on the dove descending upon Jesus, representing the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus to empower him. And then the Bible says, the Spirit, if you go and read Mark and Matthew and Luke and all of the Gospels, it say how the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. You and I need to understand the anointing that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we say, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. That's how you and I are going to and will overcome everything that's trying to oppress us. Everything that's trying to stop us, everything that's trying to forbid us, everything that wants to prevent us, everything that wants to block us, you and I are going to break through and break out. Oh, glory be to God. We're going to get over and break through because of the anointing that's on our lives. That's why I'm calling you an overcomer. Jesus, oh, glory be to God. Jesus, when I may look at it, I may not, but Pontius Pilate and Herod are two people, many people wanted to take them out and kill them, but these two have the power and they had the ability and the backing to back up their words. King Herod and Pontius Pilate, who was a ruler in the Roman Empire. But as they threatened Jesus, glory be to God, he was already anointed. He was already given the ability to do the impossible. Yeah. Let's look at, I'm going to get to Psalm 105, but I want you to see what I'm talking about very quickly. Go to Luke chapter number 13. My wife loves this scripture right here because she spoke last time she spoke. She said, you and I are unstoppable, or we're not going to let nothing stop us. And Jesus had that same mindset as you look in Luke chapter number 13, verse number 31. I gave a speech when I was in Toastmasters and pursuing a motivational speaking career. I gave a speech one time called The 3 C's to Success. And the 3 C's, the letter beginning with the words beginning with the letter C, stand for choice, change, commitment. And I gave a speech about those three principles, choice, change, commitment. How we all have to make a choice. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you made a choice to choose Christ over choosing the world. And thereby, your eternal destination is heaven. Thank God you did it. You didn't do it on your deathbed. If you're saved, sanctified, born again, baptized with fire, you are saved because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. You made a choice. I made a choice when I picked Rebecca to be my wife, and I'm so glad I made that choice. Ha ha! Glory to God. I'm so glad I chose Jesus Christ. I'm so glad when I see the fruit out of the good decisions that I have made over the course of my life. And I learn from the mistakes of the bad decisions I have made over the course, glory be to God, that I have made over the course of my life. That's for somebody right there. God wants you to end the cycle. God wants you to break the curse. God wants this to be the first day of the rest of your life, and he wants you to turn the page and start a new chapter in your life. So as we look at this, now that you're unstoppable, now that you're going to overcome everything, look at what Jesus said when they told him what was going on in the region in which he was ministering in. Luke chapter number 13 says this, verse number 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto him, go you and tell that fox, behold, I'm going to cast out devils and I'm going to do cures today and tomorrow. Come on, Jesus. And the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the following day. For it cannot be that a prophet perish outside of Jerusalem. If you read that in the NIV, the Message, the English, other translations make it plain. Jesus said, in other words, I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep doing ministry. I'm going to keep healing the sick. I'm going to keep opening up blind eyes. I'm going to keep allowing the mute to speak. I'm going to keep casting out demons and devils. I'm going to feed the poor. I'm going to clothe the naked. I'm going to speak the word of God over the people of God. He was not afraid of Herod. Jesus kept ministering and kept moving forward by faith because the anointing of God was on him. Do you hear God on tonight? You have an anointing on your life. Pontius Pilate did something similar. Go quickly. I just need you to see this. Go quickly to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter number 19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. I want you to see this. When Herod threatened him, and Pilate is threatening him here in John chapter number 9, how he overcame even threats. And they were real threats. Look at John chapter 19. Start at verse number 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again unto the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Look at verse number 10. Then said Pilate unto him, speak thou not unto me? Pilate is getting angry with Jesus because Jesus is ignoring him. And he said, you're not going to speak to me? Look at the next verse. Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have the power to release thee? Jesus answered, now Jesus answered, glory to God, thou couldest not have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee had the greater sin. He was talking about Judas, who handed him over to be crucified, and the people, the priests, and all the religious rulers. But the point I want to make is that Jesus did not allow fear to come in because of the anointing. Now, let's look at the life of Joseph, because we're talking about overcoming. I'm not going to go to Genesis where the story took place. I want to look at the psalm writer who writes about Joseph's experience. It's written about Joseph and Moses in the 105 Psalm. Turn your Bibles to the 105 Psalm, Psalm number 105. It talks about Joseph, and this is an abbreviated text of what happened back in Genesis when Joseph was given favor by his father. His brothers got jealous and threw him in a pit. He became a slave in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife lied on him. They put him in prison. And we're going to pick up the story here, because I want to focus on the anointing just for a minute. The anointing. The anointing. The Bible says it is the anointing that destroys yokes. And if we don't overcome certain things, those things will become a yoke around our lives. It will be a yoke around our necks. It would become a burden if we don't get past it. You know, when the church, we went through a church split years ago. And Pastor and I overcame that season. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I thank God for the new season that we're in. But there's so many times where you have been, even over the course of your life, you can look back and see what God has brought you through, what you already have overcome. When I think back 2 years ago with cancer being in my, glory to God, with cancer being in my body and now being cancer free for over the last 2 years, guess what? I overcame that cancer. I overcame that season in my life because of the word of God, because of the prayers of the saints, because I believed the Bible. I believed the word of God. There was an anointing on my life that destroyed the yoke of cancer. See, we got to understand, well, Pastor, I'm still dealing with certain sicknesses, and I'm still dealing with certain illnesses and infirmities. That may be so, but keep the faith. You will overcome it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of God, and faith, Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He says, if you believe, the faith is impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. But when I think about that, I met some patients in that hospital in Morristown Medical Center where when the medicine was working for me, I met some people that the medicine was not working for. Are you hearing God? So even if God give you in this season the ability to manage what it is you're dealing with, oh, give him praise for that. I say, give them praise if you're taking high blood pressure medicine and it's keeping your blood pressure down. Give God praise if you're using any kind of medication and it's managing your condition. Glory to God. Give God praise until your healing is complete, that God is allowing you in the name of Jesus to maintain until he manifests. Oh, my God. That's why the devil tries to discourage us Christians. Where's your God? God, your God don't care about you because look at what you're stuck in. Look at what you're dealing with. God do care about you. God is the one that allowed it not to get worse. People said when 9/11 happened, a lot of people were saying this, and they were blaming the church, and they were blaming God, and where was God on 9/11 when the plane struck the Twin Towers? Now, my heart still goes out to that situation that changed this country forever and those families forever. But guess what? God kept it from being worse. Are you hearing God? The planes could have hit the ground. More innocent people could have lost their lives. God is always allowing his presence to be felt. So when you have the right perspective, when you see it through godly eyes, the fact that you're still here, the fact that you are still in the land of the living, the fact that he who has begun a good work on you will complete it, we got to start seeing the glasses half full. And whether you're on your job of choice or your career choice, work that minimum wage job or work that job that you don't like until God give you the job that you want, until God give you the career that you want. And that's the God that we serve. We you know, one thing I try, and I learned this a long time ago. I've been at FedEx now, my job, over 32 years. And a long time ago, my wife and I have been in this house over 21 years, but I remember even way back then, as I pulled out of my driveway, I used to thank God for the job I had to go to. Talking about FedEx. I would just say a quick prayer. God, I thank you for this job that can help me take care of my family. My kids were little at the time. You know, we were buying school supplies and school clothes, and Pastor and I were, you know, maintaining vehicles and having cell group meetings in our home. And we were doing so many things back in that day. And as I pulled out of my driveway going to work, I would say, God, thank you for this job. And 32 years later, I'm still employed there. And sometimes people wonder, well, Pastor Anthony, why can't I keep a job? And why can't the stability come into my life? And we got to pray, beloved. You have to learn how to pray daily and pray throughout your day because God hears your prayers. Oh, my God. We're gonna look at that in a minute. But let's look at, because I wanna put a pin mark there when I say God hear your prayers, because we're gonna look at Mark chapter number 9 about overcoming, how this man and this little demonic possessed boy overcame a serious situation. But let's look at Joseph first, how he overcame. Psalm 105 verse number 15 says this, people of God, saying, touch not mine anointed. Did y'all see that? And do my prophets no harm. I'm going to read verse number 15 again. We always hear people quote it, but tonight I showed you where it is. Psalm 105:15. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. And something about the, when people come against you, oh, my God. That's why he said pray for your enemies. Because this battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. That's why he said, are you hearing God tonight? He says, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. But Pastor Anthony, they're trying to get me fired on my job. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight that battle. Pray to God that you need that job. Pray to God that you won't lose that job. Pray to God that the person that has become your enemy for whatever reason, that you would bring the peace into that workplace. We got to pray to oppose what the devil's trying to do. That's why he said what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. what you loose on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Even as I talk about my workplace, everybody in my workplace don't like Anthony. And I actually know some people who don't like me. I've been there all those years, and there's certain men that I work with who still don't speak to me. I'm talking about daily. We got to understand that's life. We can't let people get under our skin. Can't let people push your trigger buttons. Can't let people take you out of the spirit. Because they all over, they everywhere, and the devil will use them if you let the devil use them. So I have learned to use discernment. I have learned to overlook stuff like that and not take it personally and keep it moving. Amen. Psalm 105, 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Remember there was a famine in the land of Egypt? He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. I told you he was a slave. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. They put him in prison and put fetters around his feet. He was laid in iron. Joseph was a prisoner. Until the time that his word came. Oh, glory to God. Come on. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, talking about Pharaoh, and let him go free. Glory to God. He made him lord over his house and ruler over all of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and to teach his senators wisdom. Pharaoh, Potiphar, putting Joseph in charge to teach the elite in Egypt. Glory to God. Israel also came into Egypt, meaning Jacob and his sons, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Look at verse number 24. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Oh, you better write that one down. God is going to increase you and make you stronger than your enemy. That's how you're going to overcome certain things. Hallelujah. God is going to increase you and make you stronger than your enemy. You're going to get wisdom. You're going to get knowledge. You're going to get understanding. You're going to get discernment. You're going to get spiritually edified. Hallelujah. You're going to get greater in the spirit in the name of Jesus. And God is going to increase you. You're going to mature. You're going to develop. You're going to grow. That's why you got to keep coming to church. Keep coming to Bible study. Keep coming to prayer. And when the church is not all actively active, stay in your word. Allow the word to be in your eye gate. Allow the word to be in your ear gate. And allow the word to come out of your mouth gate. In the name of Jesus. This is how you got to overcome. Some of us are facing some serious situations. And faith come by hearing and hearing and hearing. I now have been saved over 25 years. That's a lot of preaching that has come into my two ears. That's a lot of scripture for 25 years I have read. Matter of fact, Pastor Rebecca just bought me a new Bible because my Bible that I had was tore up from the flow up. And that's what God is saying. You know, we got to practice what we preach. It can't be faith without works. It can't just be Sunday afternoon for a couple of hours, but you got to get this word in you. You got to get this word in your heart that you might not sin against your God. That's what David said. I've hidden this word in my heart that I might not sin against my God. Because the tempter is going to try to come, but you're going to defeat him and you're going to overcome it. When Dr. Martin Luther King and the civil rights movements in the 50s and the 60s, at his peak, after every meeting, after every assembly, after every protest. They would lock arms together and they would sing a song called We Will Overcome. We will overcome, we will overcome. I believe someday that we will overcome. And they were talking about discrimination. They were talking about racism. They were talking about overcoming segregation. They were talking about overcoming bigotry and Jim Crow laws. They were talking about overcoming biases and prejudices. And they did overcome. Because glory be to God, voters' rights, women's rights, there was so much that they were trying to overcome in the 60s during the civil rights movements, and they overcame. But they put it into the atmosphere through song. And it got into everybody's mindset that they will someday overcome everything that's trying to oppress them, everything trying to keep them depressed. And they overcame discrimination. Now you and I are living in a day where we can vote. We can live in any neighborhood we want to live in. We can go anywhere we want to go. We're in that day where they had to overcome it. Now we're living it. We experienced having our first African-American president because of what they did by believing that they would someday overcome. And now we have had the first African-American president of the United States of America because they believed that they could overcome. And God is saying to you and I tonight, when we overcome things, it's not just for us. Oh, my God. It's not just for us. But when you overcome it, think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about that little niece and that little nephew who you want to pull to the side and talk to. Think about the one that's on the fast track and they're looking to have a conversation from somebody that would try to turn them in the right direction. This is what we mean when we say, you know, bring somebody to church or tell somebody about the prayer line. Tell somebody about this Bible study. Because people are going through a lot of stuff that's defeating them. And he told Peter, once you are strengthened, go back and help somebody else. And that's what me and Pastor have been trying to do, not just as a church, but even before we became pastors. There were so many people who start in ministries and start in churches, and we would go and support. People would do things, and we would show up and support. And people would always tell us, you two support a lot of different things. You two support a lot of events. We look up and we'll see Anthony and Rebecca supporting people and encouraging people. Because my wife always say, you'll do what you're called to do way before you get a title. And she and I, as far as generosity, as far as sowing money, sowing love, sowing prayers, sowing care and concern and compassion for people, this thing has been in us a long time. We're not bragging, but this is what God has put in you. Whatever God has put in you, perfect that. Are you hearing God tonight? That's why we cannot be jealous. I'm going to say this. The Bible says he gave some one talent, he gave some three talent, and he gave some five. And then there's another gospel that says he gave some one, gave some five, gave some ten. Now, the people that got the five and ten talents, they have many different gifts. It looks like they do everything right. It may look like God is blessing them with money and family and success. Guess what? God has chosen to give them great gifts, just like Moses. In the day of Moses, people became very jealous of Moses. Even his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam became jealous of Moses. But God chose Moses to be the deliverer of God's people. And when they became jealous of Moses and tried to take Moses out, God came down to the people, Pastor preached it. God came down to the people and visited his people and said, I speak to Moses face to face. You should have been afraid to come at Moses the way y'all did. Because anybody else I speak through to dreams and visions. But me and Moses got such a unique relationship. I talked to him face to face. You should have been afraid of me if I gave a man that kind of favor on his life.
Glory to God. Let's look at Mark chapter number 9. I want you to see this father that came to Jesus and his disciples, how he overcame. Wow, time is moving. I pray this is helping you and blessing you because you are an overcomer. And I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what situations you need to overcome. Pray. Believe God. Go to Jesus. Bible says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be made open. Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because God cares for you. But let's look at this father who's concerned about his son. In Mark chapter number 9, let's begin at verse number 14. I'm going to skip through it because it's too much to read, but I'm going to skip around a little bit. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came down to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what questions are you asking them? Look at verse number 17. The father is about to speak up. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. He's possessed with a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he tears him. And he foams at the mouth, and he gnashes at the teeth, and it pins him away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him, and he saw him, and straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Let me just put a pin right here and a comma right here. Have you ever noticed, or is it just me, every time you're at the door of a breakthrough, every time you're at the verge of a manifestation, every time you're close to your miracle, drama begins to try to stir up. Distractions begin to come. Situations begin to try to arise to keep you away from what God wants to do in your life. It's not a coincidence. You got to press and you got to push and be so determined to get to the things of God. When the Spirit saw Jesus about to cast him out, he threw the boy on the ground and tore him once again. Look at verse number 21. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And all times it throws him into the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse number 23 and verse number 29 is how you and I are going to overcome situations that look like they will not leave our lives. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Verse number 29. And he said, no, go to verse number 28. And when he came unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. God wants us to pray more. God wants us to fast more. And God wants us to believe more. Glory to God. This father said, and we all deal with it, you wouldn't be human if you didn't deal with it. Doubt comes to all of us. Unbelief comes to all of us. Fear comes to all of us. Glory to God.
be being doubtful and second-guessing ourselves, we are not exempt. But this is why we got to pray, Lord, help my unbelief. God, help me to believe your word. God, help me to stay in faith. God, help me never to give up. God, help me never to quit. Lord, help me in the name of Jesus to stand. God, give me the strength. God, give me the ability. God, help my unbelief. We got to pray. His disciples, he said, maybe you've been praying, but you have not been fasting. This kind only comes out when you do both, praying and fasting. And fasting is symbolic of giving something up for God. What is God asking you to give up for a season for him? What is God asking you to sacrifice for him? What is it that's going to tip you over the scale and pull you over the wall and pull you out of that situation that God is saying, lay that down and pick me up. Put them away and pick me up. Leave that alone and come toward the things of God. What is God saying to you tonight about sacrificing for him so that you can be successful and overcome everything that the devil has planted in your way? Give God praise for that right there. Glory to God. I'm going to give him praise for that right there. Because I need to fast more. I know I do. My wife shared last night about the sweets and the sugar and abstaining. That's a form of fasting. Yes, we do it every year as a church. We fast for the first 21 days of the year from January 1st to January 21st. But God says throughout the other 365 days in a year, maybe you should do a one-day fast, a three-day fast, a two-day fast, or maybe a week fast. Sometimes I look at the internet and people be like, I'm gonna give up Facebook for a week. I'm gonna give up the internet for a week. I'm giving up television for a week. That's a form of fasting. It's not necessarily foods and sweets. Whatever you need to lay down that's going to make you more spiritual. Some people be like, I need to come off of Facebook. I need to come off of the internet. I got to stop watching so much television and get into the word of God. Whatever it is that you need to fast and pray, because this kind, if it's been around, God is saying this kind only comes out by prayer and by fasting. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. I'm trying to see where I want to go. And it's so much here, just so much. We're going to go to Nehemiah, and we might come back to the Gospel of Mark, because I really want to stay on this overcoming topic. I want to stay on this overcoming topic. In the days of Nehemiah, they were building a wall or rebuilding a wall, and the people of God got threats by the enemy. And Nehemiah gave them great instructions right here, and I pray this blesses you because it blesses me. Our families, if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a parent, a grandparent, try to find yourself in Nehemiah chapter 4 every now and again. They're doing the work from the Lord. There's another chapter, I think it's around chapter 6, where he says, let me see where I want to start this. Glory to God. We're going to start this. Nehemiah chapter 4, and the point I'm going to pull out from here, I'll tell you at the end as we read it. But Nehemiah chapter 4, let's start at verse number 3. If you're a family person at all, even if it's just your biological family, this is going to help you and bless you to overcome certain situations. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up against it, it will break it down. Now, isn't that cynical and critical? There are some people picking on you. There are some people mocking you. There are some people, you know, oh, you going to start a business? Oh, you going back to college? Oh, you trying to leave that job and start your own? And they mocking you and they laughing at you. Here you are stepping out on faith. Just like what's going on here, they rebuilding the wall of God around Jerusalem. And you got the haters, you got the enemy saying, even if a little fox come against it, a little animal can break down what they're trying to build. So they're critical, and they're trying to take them off a course. They're trying to get them out of the spirit. But look at verse number 6. And don't let the enemy do that to you either. Whatever it is God is pressing you to do, go for it with all your might. You know, sometimes I listen to Steve Harvey daily, and he says, you know, he normally operates on 4 hours of sleep. And that's why when people ask him, how is he so successful, he said he just has a work ethic like no other. And sometimes we just got to work to get it done. You're going to see that here in verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof. They built half the wall, and they did it in a short period of time. This is why they did it. For the people had a mind to work. They had such a determination. Oh, glory to God. Lord, I thank you for the people in New Creation with a mind to work. God, I thank you for every member of New Creation Church with a mind to work. God, I thank you for those who are coming to join the vision, to join and connect with our church family with a mind to work. God, I thank you that you send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west that will help the vision, that will help the cause, that will help our mandate, that will help us make Hillside, North Irvington, Union, the surrounding cities a better place. God, we are doing a great work. We're doing the work of the Lord. That's like a hospital. It's like a lighthouse. And New Creation Church is helping lives, radically changing lives for the better. In the name of Jesus, deliverance is taking place in that church. Healings are taking place in that church. Breakthroughs are being manifested in that church. Lives are being changed at New Creation Church. Keep sending them from the north, the south, the east, and the west with a mind to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And passing our love and thank all of y'all who hold our arms up on a regular basis. All of y'all that call the Bible study, that call a prayer line, that show up in church on Sunday. You don't know what it means for us to look out and see support, for us to look out and see people saying, go, Pastor, go. We are here to believe in you. We're here to tithe and give and sow and help and pray and believe with you. We need support. We need help. We need servants. We need people that believe in what God is doing through us and in us at New Creation Christian Ministries. So we thank God for your faithfulness to us, the church, but mainly to God. Amen. Oh, my God. I feel God, Pastor, in the name of Jesus. Because God has sent us some good people. That's the prayer line, the Bible study, and the local church. We have good people. That's a part of what we are all doing. Verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Did y'all see Nehemiah? It's not just New Testament stuff. Listen to verse number 9 again. If you're in Nehemiah chapter 4, look at the power of prayer. This is why we pray every Tuesday night. The guy came and with his friends, with his army, and with his haters, and said, even if a fox come against it, go knock it down. But the people already had a mind to work. And then Nehemiah and the people of God put prayer on it. Verse number 9, Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Not only did they pray, they took action. Are you hearing God? Now, verse 13 and 14 is what I wanted to get to. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and the higher places. Now he's positioning the builders and the warriors. I even set the people after their families with their swords, with their spears, with their bow and arrows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, those are the leaders. I said to the rulers, those are the ones in charge. And I said to all the rest of the people, those are the leaders and the whole remnant of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your houses. Glory to God. They had a weapon in one hand, and they had a tool in the other hand. Are you hearing God? In other words, don't stop building because you're in the middle of warfare. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing because the devil is busy. Press your way to the things of God, but fight the good fight of faith. They had a weapon in one hand, and they had a tool in the other hand. I'm going to college, and I got my textbook, but I'm going to church, and I got my Bible. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm building my business. I'm going to library and learn how to build my business, but I'm going to church, and I got my Bible because I'm going to Bible study in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm going in the name of Jesus to prayer. I got the word of God. I got my cell phone. I'm hearing them pray for me. But now in the name of Jesus, the Bible said I got to pray for myself and pray for my family and fight for myself and fight for my family. My pastor going to do their part, but I'm going to do my part. Oh, glory to God. In the name of Jesus, give God praise for that too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, this is how we overcome. Oh, I feel like preaching right there. This is how you're going to overcome. This is how you're going to do what God called you to do. This is how you're going to get your breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. In the days of Nehemiah, they prayed. In the days of the disciples, they prayed. In the days of Joseph, they prayed. In the days of Moses, they prayed. In the days of Jesus, they prayed. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. If you find yourself in a serious situation, pray. Man of God, pray. Woman of God, pray. Pastor, I'm about to be put out of my apartment. Pray. Pastor, I'm headed for surgery. Pray. Pastor, I have to go to court. Pray. I have to go to the hospital. Pray. My church is under duress. Pray. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. The Bible tells you and I to pray without ceasing. I want to turn to it, but I'm going to just paraphrase it. Cornelius in Acts chapter number 10 was a generous man. He gave a lot of money to the people of God. He gave a lot of money to the poor. And the angel came to visit Cornelius and said, your family's about to get blessed. I'm paraphrasing. Because God, your alms and your giving and your benevolence to the poor have come up to the nostrils of God like a sweet smelling aroma. And now God is going to send you Peter, and Peter's going to tell y'all what to do. And Cornelius and his whole family got saved. baptized, and salvation came to his whole household because he was a generous man. There was a woman in the Bible in the book of 2 Kings who just wanted to be a blessing to the prophet Elisha. And paraphrasing again, she said, she told her husband, I want to renovate my house and make a room, put a light, a candle. When this man come into town, he can prepare his word, he can minister, not be bothered, but I want him to be just blessed. So every time he comes to this region, I want him to dwell at my house. And she was so generous. She was a wealthy woman. He stayed with her. He ministered. And then when he was about to leave, he said, what does this woman need? She said, I have no need for anything. But the servant said she was barren, could not have a baby. Her and her husband are old. Long story short, God opened up a womb. She got a miracle, had a baby, because she was generous. And this is not a plot to get money, but God wants us to be generous in every area. Yes, sow into this church. Yes, thank God for your tithe and your alms, because we cannot do ministry without your faithful giving. But give more love. Give more kindness. Try to give more consideration to others. Try to give more compassion and grace and concern. You know, when people, and I'm going to close right here, but Pastor and I, if you notice through our messages, we talk about grace. The both of us preach and talk about grace pretty often. And you can't talk about something you haven't been through. God gave me so many second chances. So I don't just preach about grace. I've experienced grace. I've experienced it firsthand. The things I deserve, I didn't get. Are you hearing God tonight? There are some things that God brought you out of. There's some consequences that God spared you from. There's some situations that you did not have to face because of the grace of God. But now with this second chance and this second opportunity, just like the woman caught in adultery I preached from on Sunday, Jesus told her, go and sin no more. God is admonishing you and I to overcome. We got to do some of the things I talked about tonight, but I believe this with all my heart. I'd rather be in a situation where I can avoid trouble than to have trouble come. Now I got to go to God to get me out of that trouble. So as I hear the preach word, this is why I got to start my week off in church. I got to start my week off in church because I know the enemy's trying to get me. I know the devil's trying to do something to trap me. I know the devil's trying to get me out of the spirit. So when I hear my wife preach, when I preach to myself and I get my notes and I study the word of God that I want to give to the people, guess what? I'm the first partaker of that word. I was an overcomer before I preached it to y'all. Because the devil is busy. So we know we got a real enemy, the flesh, the devil, and the world. So every time you come to church and hear a word, it's preparing you to put on the whole armor of God. Because we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers and wickedness in high places, governing spirits. So when you come to church and you hear the preach word, it's to ready you. So when we preach grace and we talk about grace, and we talk about, you know, being prepared for the devil, and strengthening yourself is because God wants you to overcome. But when you hear that preached word, it do keep us out of trouble. The preached word gives you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now you have this thing called discernment. That's simply the ability to make good decisions. And I've learned over the last 25 years, some of the mistakes I made before Christ, I no longer make. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. Bless your people. We thank you, Lord, that we are growing in the spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we're getting stronger in the spirit. Now, God, we heard today that the enemy tried to stop us from the things of God. The enemy tried to block us from the things of God. The enemy is going to always try to interfere with what God is trying to do. The kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violence, we take it back. by force. God has not given you and I the spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So in this season, we're in the last days. We can't be timid. We can't be passive. We got to be aggressive. So I thank God for you. I pray we see you on Sunday if you're in this local area, 1230 Star Time in New Creation Church. There's been a great move of God there, 1482 Maple Avenue. Please bring somebody to church with you on Sunday. This has been a mighty move of God. For those of you who are not in the local area, we thank you for your faithful giving. $NCCM Church, that's our cash app. Your funds will go directly to the church that we can do the work of the ministry. NCCMonline.org. I want to just thank all of you who have given, all of you that blessed me for my birthday, the cards, the sentiments, the comments, the love that I felt. Y'all made Pastor very happy. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Your prayers taught me. It really touched my heart this year. So we'll see you Sunday. Pray for me and Pastor Rebecca. Pray for your church, New Creation Church. I love you. Good night, everyone. God bless.